Well, here we are, the last Sunday in Advent, Sunday of Love. And at this time of year, you'd think we'd hardly even need to talk about love. It's everywhere, even more so than around Valentine's Day. There you have all kinds of people talking about people they love and traditions they love. And these are all wonderful things to talk about. There's nothing wrong with any of those. I sometimes think that there's this idea out there that the first thing that a preacher needs to do is tell you that whatever you're thinking is wrong. And that's just not the case. Most of what you're thinking is right, and it's exactly what needs to be there, and what most preachers need to do is just remind you of how right you are about so many of these things. And Christmas is a time when we do demonstrate in different ways all kinds of things about love. The people we love, the things we love to do, the things we love to eat. All of these things are part of the season, and it's part of what makes it so wonderful. And it's not that we don't do it enough, it's that sometimes we lose sight of some things in the midst of all of the busyness, delightful busyness of this season. This is the time of year where, generally speaking, if you plan something and you get, you know, a good solid two-thirds of the people that you wanted there, you're pretty happy with that, because everybody has so many things to do. And in the midst of that many things to do, it's not surprising that we sometimes forget things or lose sight of things that we do value. And that's where the sermon title comes from. So that's love. Because it's an opportunity for us to be reminded of some of the expressions of what makes love or what love looks like. Our Hebrews passage is a really interesting one for this time of year. Because when we look at what the author of Hebrews, whoever wrote the book, is trying to do, is they're trying to help us see where Jesus fits into things, where Christ fits into a set of religious structures, namely Judaism, that was hundreds and hundreds of years old. And for us to just think that all of that stuff didn't matter is kind of, well, it's foolish. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to help people understand that it did matter, but things have been changed in a new way. And when we look at what we had read for us today, where we see that there was a time when there were sacrifices and these things happened. And the writer of Hebrews, quoting Psalms, says, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. You weren't pleased," with speaking to God, "that you weren't pleased by these things, even though we were required to do them." And we don't know all that's going on with the sacrificial system in the Old Testament. I personally am just mostly glad that I don't have to do that. I have nothing against animals, and I have nothing against eating them later, but sort of the transition from one state to another is not something that I'm pleased I don't have to do that every time we get together. You know, you don't have to bring me a pigeon and I don't have to do something about it. That there's a better way forward. What's interesting is towards the end of our reading, because the purpose of the sacrificial system was to enable us to take to acquire sufficient holiness to be in the presence of God for a period of time. And when Jesus came, something changed forever. And what we see in verse 10, "By that will we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Before the coming of Christ, before the sacrifice of Christ for all of us, if you wanted to be in the presence of God, you needed to be holy enough to be there. And the way that happened was through sacrifices. But the sacrifice of an animal was insufficient to make you holy. It simply lent you some holiness for a period of time until it was dissipated, if you will, because you came in contact with a dead body or whatever else it might have been that changed your state. But when Christ came, we were made holy in a way that was simply impossible before that. And what that did is enabled us at any time to be in the presence of God. that you no longer needed to find a priest to do a sacrifice for you. You no longer needed to bring a particular thing. That the relationship that we have with God through Jesus makes us holy to the point where we no longer need sacrifices. And that's what love looks like. One of the things that love does, and love does so many things we'd never have, it would take us days and days to talk about all the things that love does. But one of the things that love does is reaches out to people before they even know they're loved. When a baby is born, a baby doesn't know that they're loved. Later on, current science tells us that babies that aren't loved, that aren't cared for, that aren't nurtured, have significant problems down the road. But the baby doesn't know that they're loved. They just are. They're just being babies. They're simply there. And it's up to the people around them to love babies long before a baby knows anything about that, long before a baby can respond, because that's what the baby needs. And love, in a very real way, is more concerned about what the loved object needs, even sometimes than what the loved object wants. Hebrews shows us that God took care of the need for us to be holy in a permanent way before we even knew that was possible. Because God loves us. It wasn't that God was tired of sacrifices. It wasn't that he found them tedious. It was that God loved us and wanted to set us free from a set of requirements that had proved too onerous for any person to keep. Holy Communion also shows us what love is like. Because with Christmas, we see the beginning of the journey that culminated in Christ's death and resurrection. It's all of a piece. God's love for us was expressed in Christ coming to earth, but not coming to earth just that he might give us the demonstration of his identification with us as people, although that's critically important. Christ came to earth that he might put an end to the sacrificial system that had proved inadequate and demonstrate God's love for us to the ultimate degree in being willing to provide his Son as a sacrifice for us. And we think of that at Christmas, even though that's not the focus of what we're thinking of course. Because that's why Jesus came. Not just that we might have the wonderfully warm feelings of Christmas, where we sing some songs that are so meaningful for us we can't even describe how meaningful they are to us. Not just when we can get together and give gifts to each other. But that we can see the beginning of the process that culminates in our ability to stand before God, knowing that he loved us enough to do what we could not do for ourselves, so that we might be in that relationship with him, imperfect as it is now, but will be perfected one day and will last forever. The fourth Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of love, can easily be just turned into a sentimental time, and there's nothing wrong with sentiment. I'm all for it. I'm one of those people who tears up at commercials, which is one of the reasons why I don't watch television very much. Sentiment is a wonderful part of who we are. But the sentiment of the Sunday of love is such a small part of what it actually means. That at the beginning of Christ's experience on earth, where just his being here, extraordinary things happen, from angels announcing it to babies, recognizing the reality of what was happening in the womb, in Elizabeth's womb, a baby that would become John the Baptist, went, wow, that's Mary, the carrier of God himself. And the whole point of that was an undeniable and unmissable expression of how much God loves us. That he reached out to accomplish what only he could do to provide what we needed so much, even before we knew we needed it. Love doesn't wait for the request to come in to do what needs to be done. I don't wait for my kids to tell me they're hungry before I feed them. I don't wait for my children to tell me everything they need or I won't do it. Any more than you do with your children or the people in all of, or any of your relationships. Those people that you love, you reach out to them and you try to do what they need before they ask. Not because you want to seem especially clever that you know what they need, but because you love them. At this time of year, Christ coming to earth as a baby, that he might one day provide the way to God in a permanent way, is a sign that God loves us enough to do what we need before we even know what we need. And on a Sunday where we celebrate communion, we're reminded again of that ultimate sacrifice, but we're reminded even more so of what it means and why. And what it means is that God loves us. And so that's love. Amen.